be in the house of the Lord. It's good to be back together again. And I thank Pastor Paul for standing in my stead last Sunday. I understand he did a wonderful job. And together, let's thank him. Where'd he go? Pastor Paul took a number of our students onto a prayer retreat last Sunday afternoon on into Monday. How many of you went? Would you stand if you went? Stand up. How was it? Awesome, huh? Great. It was fantastic. You may be seated. I didn't want to embarrass you, but I wanted people to know that our young people are seeking the Lord, and it is fantastic. It is wonderful when we take the time to seek the Lord and delight in Him. I want to point you to two passages of Scripture this morning as we look at delight yourself in the Lord. My original intent was to finish up last week, but I got sick and I couldn't do that, so I'm not finishing up last week, and I'm not finishing up this week. That's what happens when a pastor stays home for a Sunday. He gets all fired up, and his quiver gets full of new arrows. So we have four more messages on prayer, and then we'll move on, the Lord willing. Two messages. This morning, delight yourself in the Lord and what that means. And then tonight, the power of praying together, the power of joining together with other people in praying. And the next Sunday morning, the Lord willing, a prayer shield, how to build a prayer shield. And Sunday night, how to tear down strongholds. And you pray for us as we do this. We are cognizant of the fact that when we preach on prayer and the authority of the believer, that there will be attacks against us and against the church, and fiery darts of the wicked one sometimes fly all over the place. My brother's a minister and a lay pastor, and he called me one day weeping and crying the blues about all the bad things that were happening and all the people that were saying nasty things. And I had to remind him, I said, Dave, you took the job to stand at the front lines. You expect not to get shot at. And once in a while you get shot at and you get wounded, but you don't quit. You keep going and you go in the strength of the Lord. May the Lord grant us the strength of the Lord to be a praying church and not a playing church. Two passages. The first one's found in the Old Testament. You can scurry to that quickly, and then we'll move you to the New Testament where the passage is that we're going to deal with this morning. From Psalm 37, verse 4. Psalm 37, verse 4. Psalm 37 and verse 4, the Lord is speaking through His servant. It is a psalm of praise and thanksgiving and a psalm that encourages us to seek the Lord. And this is what He says, delight yourself in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart. Delight yourself in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we enter into this message, we desire that we would be delighting in Your presence, that we would learn what it means to be delightful, to be filled with praise and thanksgiving and joy and enthusiasm and excitement and even fun in Your presence. And Lord, You're our teacher. We ask that You would instruct us in the way that we should go. Guide us with Your truth that we might understand these things. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Delight yourself in the Lord. What do you delight in? Someone this past week gave me a gift, and it was a wonderful box of chocolates. Rich, dark chocolates. Now, I wasn't feeling well, but when I got that little gift, I looked at it and I said, Lord, I know that chocolate's not good for my heart, but who cares? I will do it sparingly. And so I flipped the lid on that, and I looked at all those wonderful chocolates. You know how it is? It's like Forrest Gump looking into the chocolate box and saying, you never know what you're going to get. But I reached in, and I can discern those that have the nuts in them and the ones that are bittersweet, my favorite. And so I took my favorite one, and I put it in my mouth. And oh, the chocolate started to melt. And pretty soon I was hugging myself. And then I floated up in the air and back down again. I was delighting in the chocolate. The Lord says, delight yourself in the Lord. As a little boy, we would go to the river. And we'd sit at the river's edge and throw the fishing line in and just sit there. And we'd watch the little fish at the shoreline. Once in a while, we'd feel a little bit of tug on the end of our line. That little jerk. You fishermen know that's what that's like. There's a great delight in getting something at the end of your line. And then you pull, and you got him, and you wrestle him in, and finally you bring him in. There's a great delight. And the Lord says, delight yourself in me, and I'll give you the desires of your heart. Have you ever delighted in the Lord? Oh, we delight in chocolate. We delight to take a walk in the woods. And we delight to see a beautiful sunset. We delight in the changing leaves of fall. We delight in all of these things. But do we delight in the Lord? Turn with me to the New Testament. In a moment, we're going to read this passage, but I wanted to review where we've been because we skipped a Sunday where I was away. And I had dealt with you the last time we were together about the love of your life. And what is the love of your life? And I talked about my wife, and we won't go into that, but she's the love of my life. Isn't she sweet? And we talked about the priorities and the passions and the procedures of delighting in the love of your life. Turn with me now to Luke chapter 10. Jesus wanted to bring a message about the love of your life to his disciples. He had just sent 72 disciples out, and they came back rejoicing at what God had done for them, rejoicing that even devils were subject to them in Jesus' name. They were all excited about the power encounters, and Jesus said, don't rejoice over that. Rejoice simply that your names are written in heaven. Delight in the Lord. And then he gave us the parable of the Good Samaritan, and now he sits down to eat a supper with some of his favorite disciples or followers. It's the story of Mary and Martha. I'm reading from the NIV. And as Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. And she had a sister called Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet, listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. And she came to him, that is to Jesus, and asked, Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me. Martha, Martha, the Lord answered, you are worried and upset about many things, but only one thing is needed. Mary has chosen what is better. Some translations say what is best, and it will not be taken away from her. This morning we want to look at Mary and Martha, and the idea of delighting in the Lord. These were disciples of Christ. They were just like the 12 or the 72, but they were people that followed the Lord Jesus. There was Mary and there was Martha. They were both in love with the Lord Jesus Christ. Both were Christians. Both were born again. Both followed the Lord and had a love for Him that was exceptional. Both were baptized, and both called themselves disciples or followers of Jesus. But there was a difference between the two of them, and that's what Jesus wanted to address to His disciples. There was a difference between the disciple that was in love with his Lord and the disciple who was in love with his work. We want to look at these disciples this morning and discern what is the difference and see where we stand in this. First of all, we want to look at Miss Martha. We're going to look at Miss Martha and her characteristics. Miss Martha had some characteristics that the Lord doesn't want us to have. And so He used this opportunity to give a teaching lesson, to teach us something about ourselves. Poor Martha was the guinea pig. She was the pastor's wife, as it were, who got the illustration laid on her. Martha was an uptight, type A behavior person. She was one who was frustrated but diligent. She was a perfectionist. She wanted to get everything done that needed to be done, but there were some faults within her, and the Lord wanted to address those faults. The first thing Jesus noted about Martha was that she was distracted. Martha was a follower of Christ, but she was distracted, and that bothered the Lord. You see, there was a big banquet at Jesus' house, and as was the custom, people from everywhere came, and they crowded the home. Martha was diligent, and she understood that, and she had the pots and the pans prepared. She was probably boiling and preparing water and getting things ready from early in the morning or even from the previous day. She was doing a good work. She was getting everything ready because the Lord was coming to her house. But Jesus, as he looks at her, says, "Martha, you were distracted." The word that he used there, distracted, means that she was doing a lot of things or fighting off a lot of things at one time. That is, she had her hands full of many different things. How many of you are old enough to remember the Ed Sullivan Show? Raise your hand higher. And some of you are liars. The Ed Sullivan Show was one of those variety hours where they had these weird and wonderful people that come on their program and sing, people like the Beatles, and other times it was magicians and ventriloquists, and other times they had these crazy guys that would put plates on sticks and make them spin. Remember that? The guy would be on the platform and he'd put a plate up on a stick and he'd spin it and he'd start it going and it would be going all right, and he'd take the next one and spin it and the next one and spin it, and pretty soon he's got about 15 or 20 plates going and he's running wild going. That's exactly the word that Jesus used here. Distracted. You can't focus on anything because you got your hands into everything. Jesus wants to address disciples who have their hands into everything but no time for him. It's a noble work that she was doing. It was a necessary work. Somebody had to cook. But he said, "Martha, the problem with that noble work is in it, you are distracted. You've got too many things going at the same time." Now, I'm the original to-do list person. The staff in the office know that well. I've got to-do lists that give birth to to-do lists that have grandchildren of to-do lists. And one thing leads to another, and Pastor Paul was rejoicing that I got sick last week, and I came in and said, "I didn't even make a to-do list." And he says, "Hallelujah!" And sometimes to-do lists can be too much for us when we have too many things going at the same time and no time for the Lord. The problem wasn't getting the dinner ready. The problem wasn't entertaining or doing the work that's necessary. All of us have responsibilities. But Jesus said, in the responsibilities, you've got to have time to focus on Him. The second thing Jesus said about Martha was she was worried. She was worried. Worried means that she was fussing about pleasing people. What do you worry about when you worry? You worry about something going wrong. Something going wrong. You worry about that glass that had smudges on it. Or you're worried about the dishwasher not cleaning something properly and it sits before the Lord and you're embarrassed. You're really worried about yourself. Martha was worried about herself. She was fussing because she wanted to impress people. She wanted to impress the Lord Jesus with the work that she could do. She wanted to hear at the end of the sentence or the end of the day, "Well done, good and faithful servant." But the Lord says it's disqualified because you're just so worried about it. Have you ever met a worried person? A worried person is that compulsive person that has to get everything just right. I remember a few years ago reading an article on type A behavior and your heart. Type A behavior is Martha's behavior. Not just doing a lot of things, but worrying and fussing about a lot of things at the same time. Some of you have that problem. Some of you are mothering too much. Some of you have grown up and you've married someone and you've become that person's mother. And you're fussing always and worried about impressing and pleasing that person. And then that spreads to the children that you have. And you fuss and you work at pleasing them. And pretty soon your whole life is a worry and you are frazzled constantly because there's no peace in worried people. The third thing Jesus said about Martha was, Martha, you are upset. You are upset. The word that he used is the word turba, from which we get turbulence. And Jesus said, Martha, you are turbulent. Meaning, she wasn't just upset, she was angry. Catch her as she walks into the room. I wish we had pictures of that. I've looked up some pictures that people have drawn for children's stories, but none of them really depict Martha as the angry person, but that's what she was. You can see her. She's in the kitchen, and she's working all these things. Pretty soon, you're hearing loud noises. Pans banging, perhaps a dish that breaks, silverware that jingles, and she keeps peeking out the door at Mary, because Mary's sitting at Jesus' feet, and she's just looking up and going, she's in awe of the Lord Jesus, but Mary's sweating. You can see she's got her apron on. It's all dirty. As a matter of fact, she probably put her hands into some of the tomato sauce and rubbed it to give the impression that she was really frazzled. And she probably took her hair and mussed it up a little bit. And then she peeks out the door a little further and a little further and gradually into the room. And finally she comes in and she stands right in front of Jesus, looks straight in his face and says, Lord, don't you care? My sister has left me to do all the work, and it's all my responsibility, and nothing's going to get done. Will you please speak to her, rebuke her, and tell her to come and work? It's at that point that Jesus realized we have not only a woman who is distracted and a woman who's worried, but we have a woman who's angry. Take note who she was angry at. She'd like to say she was angry at Mary. But who was she addressing? The Lord. She was saying, Jesus, it's your fault. It's your fault I have to do all this. Jesus had some interesting comments for her. He said, Martha, you are distracted by many things, all this stuff. But Mary has chosen one thing. Get the contrast? Mary, Martha, you have all of this stuff, all of these things flying through the air, but Mary has chosen the one thing that is most enjoyable. She's chosen me, and I'm not going to take it away from her. I don't know if you watch movies. I assume you college students don't. Ha! I like movies, and you have to be careful what you watch. But there's a movie I want to refer to here, and I'm not encouraging you to go out and watch it, but I'm going to use it for an illustration anyway. Now, all you're going to write it down, and you're going to go get it, right? City Slickers. In that movie about this city slicker that went to the ranch to become a dude rancher and all of his experiences, there's that mean old cowboy that tries to teach him and is quiet and abrupt, but unflappable in all of the activities of the ranch. And Billy Crystal asked him, well, what is the secret of life, as they talked about the deep things of life? The big old cowboy stood on his horse and he said, this is the secret of life. And he said no more. And Billy's going, what? What an idiot. How can this be the secret of life? And then the whole story unfolds, and at the end, Billy comes to the end and he says, I know what this means. It means choose the thing that's most important to you and keep focused on it. And Jesus said, Mary, you got all of these things you're pointing to, but Mary chose one thing. And I'm not going to take it away from her. We're going to take a look at Mary because Jesus had some things to say about her. He speaks to Mary and he says, Mary has done a better thing. She has chosen that which is good or that which is best. Now, you're looking at the kitty cat, aren't you? And you're saying, well, isn't that cute? Well, there's a deliberate purpose behind the kitty cat. I tried to look for an image of somebody that was really comfortable. And that's exactly the picture that Jesus gives us of this scenario where Martha's in the kitchen and she's all frazzled and she's sweaty and there's no relaxation at all. And Mary has literally plopped herself down at Jesus' feet. Matter of fact, the word that's used gives the idea of plopping. You didn't know that was a word, did you? Plop. She plopped herself right at Jesus' feet. She got as close as she could and she just looked up at him. And she adored him. She wanted to be close enough to hear every word. Jesus' comments was about that. Even in the depiction of the story, she sat at his feet. That is, she was focused on the one thing that was needful in life. That is, to know the Lord. So many of us, as we go to God in prayer, are concerned about everything but the Lord Himself. We're concerned about getting answers. God, why don't you answer me? Lord, why don't you do this? Lord, I wish you would. Lord, I need you to do this. Well, there's nothing wrong with all those requests. But the problem is most of us are making the request without number and multiplied exponentially, and we never get to the place of just worshiping the Lord and sitting at His feet. Martha chose that. She deliberately said, I'm going to leave the kitchen for a while. I'm going to sit at Jesus' feet. And I'm going to point at what is important to me, my Savior. Back to Psalm 37:4. Delight yourself in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart. You know why that's true? It's because when we delight in the Lord and we plop at His feet and we focus on Him and we get all wrapped up in our love relationship with Jesus Christ, suddenly all of those other things we've been wishing for, wanting, and perhaps not even needing, but dumping on Him become of less importance. And as we listen to His heartbeat, we start to take on the desires of our Savior. The desires of our heart change to become His desires. Then we start praying for priority things. Mary learned that. The second thing Mary demonstrated was that she listened to the Lord's word. There was a reason for sitting at Jesus' feet. She wanted to listen to His word. Now, often we can't listen because it's too noisy. And if you ever get in a crowd and lots of people are talking all at once, you'll know what we mean. If you're in a crowd of people, for instance, just before the service started, Dan was at the piano. What do you call that thing? Not piano. Synthesizer, whatever. Keyboard. And he was playing soft music, and I listened. And I could barely hear him over the din of conversation. Now, that's not a rebuke. It's an observation. But sometimes it's like that with the Lord. The Lord is trying to speak to us, but we're so busy. We're so cluttered and we're so noisy. We're so focused on other things. We can't hear Him. Remember Elijah in the Old Testament as he went out in the desert and he wanted to die and he was pouting about his ministry and he came and he stood before the mouth of the cave and the Lord came with a mighty wind, but the Lord wasn't in the wind, and He came with a storm and a fire and all the things that are noisy, and we think those are God things. The Word says, and the Lord was not in all of those things. But after all that passed, there was a still, gentle voice. We need to learn to get still before God. It is a commandment, not a suggestion. Psalm 46:10 says, be still and know God. This past week, our young people went on that prayer retreat. The first step of the prayer retreat is be still. Now, I told Pastor Paul this. We've never done it with young people before, but I've done it with hundreds of people. And I've said I've never had anyone come back and say, I hated it. everybody comes back with the same response. This was awesome. I love doing this. And the proof of the pudding is if you can take young people, teenagers, and send them away with Jesus and get alone with God, they're going to walk away having heard His voice, and they're going to say, wow, that was awesome. Now that which Pastor Paul has done with them, I'm going to pass off to you, all of you that are older than teenagers. Have you gotten alone with God? Have you been still before Him? Have you sat at His feet to hear His voice this past week? This past month? This past year? Oh, but I've got so much to do, Pastor. You don't know my schedule. I don't need to know your schedule. God knows your schedule. God knew the schedule of Martha, but He looked at her and He said, Martha, you're cluttered about with all this other stuff. And you've relegated me to the last place in your life. Mary has chosen the very best thing, and I'm not going to take it away from her. He said, one thing is needful, and Mary chose that. The word that Jesus used for choosing is the kind of word that we use for choose, but it means to go eeny, meeny, miny, mo, go through a number of options. And He says, Mary went through all of the options, all the things she could have done instead of sitting at Jesus' feet, and she chose deliberately, I will sit at Jesus' feet, and I will incur the wrath of Con, the wrath of Martha. But it's more important to be in Jesus' presence. I covet for the people of God that you would experience what I have learned and now our young people have experienced, Pastor Paul has experienced, and soon Pastor Dave is going to do it because we require it as part of our ministry. Get alone with God and hear His voice. And I don't need to do any talking during that time because the Spirit of God whispers, I love you so much. Mary knew that before Jesus died on the cross. She knew the immensity of His love because she took time to listen. The third thing that Mary did was that she delighted in the Lord. As I talked about delight, what is delight? Delight is to focus on God and enjoy Him, to have a God party, to let the Lord be your celebration, to let Him be the thing that makes you happy. Are you happy in the Lord?
Well, not exactly.
Have you ever experienced wanting to dance before the Lord? I was thinking of that this morning as we were singing one song. I thought, and I actually smiled at the time I was thinking of it, because I thought, wouldn't it be cool if they could see me in my worship time when I'm singing that song? Because we're all staid, even Pastor Dave, and that's okay, Dave. Pastor Dave, you're a little bit too big to be bouncing around, but he's up here banging on the piano. Close? No. I always wanted to do that. I thought I was going to get the gift that moment, but I didn't. But Dave's up here playing the piano, and the worshipers are over here, and they're singing, but most of us are singing like this. I love you, Lord. And I lived my voice. I'll tell you what happens when I'm on a retreat with God and nobody's watching. I'll let you peek for a moment. When I'm on a retreat with the Lord, it's, I love you, Lord. And I lift my voice to worship. And when I'm listening to CDs and those faster songs of hallelujah and praise the Lord, there are times when my heart is overwhelmed within me. I'd quench the Holy Spirit if I didn't dance around and praise the Lord. And I just hope nobody ever sees me doing that because I'm not a dancer. But you know what happened in the Old Testament? David was so excited. The Ark of the Covenant was coming back. The presence of the Lord was coming back to the temple. And he was worshiping. He was honoring the Lord. And he was excited. And he started to dance and sing. That means he was skipping and hopping and praising God and celebrating him and his wife. Her name should have been Martha. Was looking out the window and she went, "Ugh, what an embarrassment. How can you be the king and act like that?" You know, there's an awful lot of Marthas in the church who are party poopers. They don't want the service to get too loud. They don't want people to raise their hands. Might get too excited. They don't want expression. They just want to worship and get out. My friend, the Lord Jesus said, "I blessed Mary because she chose to delight in me." Now, your delight may not be dancing like Pastor Dick. It may be just sitting there quietly and going, "Hum." Whatever, but when you delight in the Lord, it's going to be so exciting. You're going to come back like the young people and hundreds of others that have done the prayer retreats, and they say, "This is the most phenomenal thing I've ever experienced. I heard from the Lord, and I want to do this again." And we covet for you as the people of God that every one of us in this church will become praying people, not just seeking God's hand, but seeking His face. You ever realize how we do that? We always want God's mighty hand to do something for us, but we barely ever get alone with Him and just seek Him. The founder of the Alliance, A.B. Simpson, said in a song, "Once it was the blessing, now it is the Lord. Once it was the feeling, now it is His word. Once His gift I wanted, now the giver own. Once," something I forgot, "la-la-la-la, la-la-la-la-la." Forgot the last part, but the idea is always, once it was other stuff, now it's the Lord, and I love Him. Our last point this morning is to look at our own failures in the area of prayer, and that's our missing characteristics. I call it strangers in our prayer closet, things that are missing in our closet of prayer, and I'll go quickly through them because they echo what Mary did. Silence. Solitude and silence is not something that we long for. Keith Miller, in his book on the presence of God, talks about holy leisure. Holy leisure. That is carving out time in which you go away to a solitary place and you just go for the purpose of enjoying the Lord's presence. No other thing is on your agenda. It's just the Lord. We call this purposeful pauses or prayer retreats. And by retreat, I don't mean running from the battle. I mean a retreat is a repetitious treat, a delighting in the Lord, to get silent before Him. We need to learn to do that because for most of us, there's no silence, there's no stillness, and there is no enjoyment. And we need to carve it out. We need to make time. And the second is to wait on the Lord, to listen to His voice. Often we're too much in a hurry. We can't seek the Lord because our schedules are too full. Folks, you are the only one in charge of your schedule. Nobody else. Oh yeah, people give you assignments and the job requires you to do certain things, but you've got a lot of time that's on your hands that you divvy up to take the kids to soccer, to watch TV, to cook a meal, or just vegetate. And the Lord says, all of that time is yours. To decide what you want to do. You can wait on yourself or you can wait on the Lord. The third thing we miss is rest and delight. To rest in the Lord. Jesus says it this way, "Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you will find rest unto your soul." He's not talking about physical rest. He's talking about spiritual rest. He's talking about emotional rest. He's talking about the heart rest of being able to do as Mary did, to lay at the feet of Jesus or to lean on Him as John did at the Last Supper and just rest in Him and delight in being with God. Oh, how He loves you and me. Oh, how He longs for some one-on-one time with you and me. As we close this morning, I want to remind you of the challenge of a personal prayer retreat. We have asked you or encouraged you and instructed you the way you can do this. And we've made an offer that if you're willing to go, and we've arranged with the Whitehall Camp and Conference Center, that you'll get $10 off to go on a personal prayer retreat. And we encourage you to do so. There are little vouchers that are in our office, and you can find them on the shelf in there. Just go pick one up. All you have to do is take that to Whitehall, hand it to them, and pay the remainder, which in some cases, if you go with a couple, it's going to cost you $40, and we give you $10 off per person, so that's $20 for you to spend an overnight with God. Now, if you're going with your wife, it's an overnight with God. You know, we know you enjoy your wife, or hope you enjoy your wife, or your husband, but this is time for you to be together, but to be apart, to seek Him. We challenge you to do that. We've given you an outline, and there's a booklet that's available in the office for everybody doing the prayer retreat. It's not available just to go take, but to go on a prayer retreat, you're welcome to take it. It costs us money to build these booklets. And it outlines 6 steps for intimacy with God. The first one is silence, and silence sometimes, all the time, is delightful. The second one is worship, and it's delightful. The third one is thanksgiving, and it's delightful. I love to spend an hour on each one of these, and sometimes more. The third one is confession, and it's not always delightful. It's hard at first, but once you get things taken care of with God, it is delightful. The third one is clothing yourself in the armor of God and allowing yourself to believe what God says about you, and that is delightful. And the final one is casting all your care upon Him, and it is fantastic. We challenge you to go. We encourage you to go. We bend over backwards to make that provision. So lastly, we give you the address for Whitehall Camp. The vouchers are in the office. The folders are there to teach you and walk you through in a workbook fashion. And it's up to you. Are you a Martha or a Mary? Delight yourself in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You that You have called us into Your presence, and one day You'll call us into Your physical presence for the same purpose, to delight in Your presence. You have said in Your presence is fullness of joy, and most of us, many of us, have never experienced that full joy of knowing and experiencing Jesus personally. We ask that You would work that in the lives of our friends and believers here in this church, for the college students, for the high school students, for our couples and our older folks, singles, Lord, even our children. We ask that no one would be left out of knowing the delight of the Lord. And I pray that miracle, that when they set apart time to be with You, You will give them a merry heart. You will give them the joyful spirit. You'll give them the joy of the Lord. This we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.